Growing up, I didn't go to church on Sunday mornings, but on Friday nights, both my mom and I would sit down and watch movies, and she would show them from a Christian perspective.
Growing up, we were out in the woods, so I didn't watch many movies, but I learned to look around me and find a spiritual lesson in everything I saw.
So now, I want you guys to experience the goodness of God in the movies we watch.
Join us as we unpack meaning from the movies we watch.
I'm movie apologist Clark.
And I'm Bethany.
And this is Movie Night Apologetics. Well, what is up, movie lovers? Welcome back to the podcast that loves to show you the goodness of God in the movies we watch. And we got a special episode for you today because we're going to try to once a month start doing this movie review to where we don't really have this outline of, you know, Bethany starting us off with the description and then us going into our review and then us talking about fun facts and then going into the scenes and themes and then ending it. We are just going to kind of sporadically go in this review of Gladiator 2 today, and we're going to try to pick one movie a month where we just review a newer-ish movie and share our thoughts and some of the funny things that we found in them. So yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And we got Gladiator 2 today. So
yeah, there's going to be some things to talk about.
So we're just kind of starting this off. So how should we go?
Well, I think we should start off by explaining the movie.
Yeah. So you want to give your plot at least for that. And then we'll just kind of dive into random things that we thought about the movie.
Sure. So there's this guy named Hanno who is married to a woman who is not important except as a plot point.
For 5 minutes.
Yeah. And they live in this country in Africa. And Rome comes to conquer this country. And the general conquering it is Acacius. And they do. Rome does conquer it. And Hanno's wife is killed. And Hanno swears revenge. And he ends up as a slave and fighting as a gladiator. And then we find out, dun, 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 dun.
Plot twist. I love plot twists.
He is actually Lucius, the son of the emperor's sister from Gladiator 1.
Which is the Commodus. Commodus? Commodus?
Commodus was the emperor.
Yeah, so he was she was the sister of him.
Yeah, Lucilla was the sister of Commodus. Yeah,
right. And Lucius was the little boy in the first one, though they are different actors and whatnot. I looked it up. I'm like, I wonder if this is the same kid that grew up 20 years later and now he's playing. No,
he looked way too different.
Yeah,
and so Hannah's like, okay, I will be a gladiator, but I want you to let me fight Acacius because he blames Acacius for his wife's death. But, dun 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 dun, plot twist again. Acacius just is married to Lucilla, his mother. And this ends
I'm getting up being, so confused with these Roman names. Acacius. Who was Acacius again?
He was married to Lucilla.
Was he one of the weird twins?
No.
Who was Acacius?
He was the general who was Pedro Pascal.
Oh, okay. That dude. The last for us dude.
Yeah, that guy.
Dude. Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay. I get so, you know, it's not Johnny and John and Acacius, Maximus, Commodus, all these different Roman names, all sus.
It's very sus.
Yeah.
Very sus.
Yeah.
So, then what happens? Okay. Where are we at? Lucius. Oh, okay. Then there's another plot twist. He is actually also the son of Maximus.
So I was actually talking to my buddy Kevin today about this.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to debate because Maximus was gone from his wife and kid for years, right? from the first movie in Gladiator.
I believe he said 2 years.
2 years. So, and she was kind of like there in the picture. So, I mean, you got to think like 2 years, like, you know, he could have.
Lucius was like 10 in the movie.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't jive, does it?
Well, no, it doesn't jive at all because Lucius was actually the same age as his son. He even mentions it.
Oh, man. That's horrible. I didn't think about that.
No, it wasn't really a great thing to try to redo.
See, it would have been better, and this is what I thought about the movie. It would have been a better movie if they, when they made the first Gladiator, knowing that a couple years later they would want to make another Gladiator and like tie it all together, because I think this could have been a better movie if they thought it, the first one through a little bit more with that plot line.
They didn't need to make Maximus his father is the thing.
You don't think so?
No. I think just having Lucius as a character would have been enough.
Yeah.
Trying to make Maximus his father was such a stretch. And kind of puts a stain.
Well, yeah, it's like, yeah, because like you thought, oh, here's a righteous dude, like lost his family and son. And then you find out like, oh, he was just sleeping around with the emperor's sister.
Right. Yeah. No, it makes him look really dirty. But anyways, let me quickly finish the recap of the movie. So Lucius and Acacius do end up fighting in the gladiator arena, which just tears Lucilla up because one's her husband and the other's her son. But it's okay because she dies almost instantly, and so does the general, and then so do the emperors, and so does the bad guy who was the owner of Lucius. Because, you know, he's a slave owner.
Yeah. They had a thing for, like, shooting women in the
heart.
In the right, directly in the chest in this movie. It was the Lucius's wife. And then there was another gal in the crowd towards the end that they shot, like, one of the soldiers shot. And then, you know, the, what's her name again? The Commodus's sister?
Lucilla,
Lucius, gosh dang. And then she got shot in the chest. And yep. It's like, man, they really just like shooting women in the chest in this movie.
I think it's just, it looks very dramatic. And then there's this whole army that's coming to free Rome because Lucius sent them word that their general wanted them to do that. And so they all come to fight with each other, but Lucius manages to kill the bad guy, so there's nobody really in charge of the armies, either side. And so Lucius says, hey, we've done a lot of killing, and let's not.
Hey, let's just stop all this killing, guys. And they're like, yeah, you're right. Let's do that. And then the people in the front are like, yeah. And then the people on the way back from like a mile away are like, hey, what's going on here? Like, what are we cheering about? Are we cheering about going to start another war? Or, like, what? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because they didn't have microphones back then. They're out in this field.
Right. Nobody could hear them.
Yeah, exactly. So.
But that was basically the end of the movie.
Yeah. So, like, obviously, everyone that I've talked to about this movie, from coworkers to my friend Kevin, said that this was not as good as the first.
Oh, and, really?
And what? And what makes it not as good as the first for you?
Oh, gosh. There are several items. It was very choppy. I think it was poorly edited.
Mm.
Sometimes a scene would end and you'd be like, what just happened?
There wasn't a great transition into scenes.
Yeah, there was no transition. And yeah, we didn't know how people ended up where they were. There was there would just be a cut and no explanation. And then
yeah, it's kind of like at the end that we just talked about where you know, they were fighting in the arena when everything chaos, and then Denzel Washington's just all of a sudden on a horse riding away, and then you have Lucius like riding on a horse in front of the Roman army, and then, you know what I'm saying?
No, because I don't think Denzel Washington was in this movie.
What are you talking about? That was the... What? Denzel Washington was the gladiator ringleader guy. What are you talking about? Did you not watch the movie? He was one of the main actors.
That was Denzel.
That was Denzel Washington. Man on Fire. What's the other crap movie that he played in? Oh, the Equalizer.
Fine. It is Denzel.
Equalizer. Okay. Who did you think it was?
I didn't know. Please cut all of that out.
No, that's great. You finally had a hiccup moment. This is what happens when we don't prepare.
Ah!
But anyways, like at the ending there is very chopped up. What I'm trying to say is like, oh, it would just so happen to be perfect that the Denzel Washington guy and the Lucius guy were like in between these two armies, and then they fought to the death.
But
you don't really know how they got to that point. It was just...
Right, they just jump out there
right
from the arena. Mm-hmm. And then after the battle's over, between him and the bad guy, and he sends the armies away, suddenly he's back at the arena again.
And no one's dead in there. It's all empty,
but the chariot is still there that his mother was killed on.
And she's not there.
And he touches the blood, and he says, "My mother." And then he picks up a handful of dust, and he says, "My father." The end.
So do you have anything else for a reason why I hate this movie?
Costumes. The costumes look cheap and fake and too clean.
They did look way too clean.
Yeah.
That's a problem that I have with some movies and whatnot now. It's like they what's the one movie that we were watching and it was just like, oh, it wasn't a movie. It was the Avatar Last Airbender, the live action.
Yeah.
And that was the problem with that. It's like all their, what they wore looked really too dang clean for the era that they were in.
Completely unrealistic.
I mean, our kids go outside and like their clean clothes are just dirt. But, you know, these people, apparently they can just live where dirt's just, you know, what they breathe every day, but yet their clothes are just perfectly clean. Like they like just ran it through the washer and had Tide on it. You know, I don't.
Right. And one of the first scenes in Gladiator 2 is these oar slaves rowing the boat, and they're all wearing these freshly bleached tunics.
Yeah. It's like, can you just throw some dirt on it and like scrub the dirt in to make it look like you actually live in that time?
Yeah. You know that the oar slaves are not going to be all fresh and clean and tidy.
Yeah. You have to think those things through. That's what, like, those little details make for a good movie.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things that went wrong with this movie is they were trying too hard to make you emotional. They thought that they could make us feel emotions just by having dramatic scenes.
Mm.
They didn't realize that we needed some way to connect with the characters.
Right. Like the first one where the girl's like, where Lucius's wife gets hit in an arrow and like falls off the tower. And he's just like, no. It's like, we just met you. There's no connection there. It's just some random chick falling off the tower with an arrow in her chest.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, sorry, your wife died, bro.
And by the way, like one of the things that really irritated me about that is she fell off the tower like inside the camp or inside the city walls. And then he falls off the tower into the water. And then he sees her, his wife in the water when he wakes up and gets out of the water. And it's like, how did she get there? She fell off in the other way, unless like the Romans just like threw her in the water afterwards. But it was like stuff like that was just so stupid.
Inconsistent.
It was very, yeah, there were some inconsistencies with that.
Yeah. And they try to build up this fantastic romance between the two of them before she died, which, you know, was what, the third scene. But it just wasn't there. Like their last kiss, it kind of looked like he was chewing something while
you said he was chewing cud. Hey, baby, let me give you a little kiss there, baby.
Yeah, for the first half of the movie, he keeps moving his face like he's got like a wad of tobacco.
Maybe he did.
I really think they just pulled this guy off of a tractor and said, "Hey, you want to be the main actor?"
But then they had, you know, like Denzel Washington in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
I don't get that.
And they had the other guy, the Last for Us guy. And then they had the original gal from the first one. So they had some pretty decent actors in this.
And then an unknown as the main character.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's unknown to me.
I think Chris Pratt would have been good as a Lucius in this Gladiator. There I think he would have been way better.
Yeah, because he would have made it funny. Like, this guy did try to make it funny, and sometimes it was like, heh.
Yeah, it wasn't really there.
You know what really wasn't there was strength and honor. Because yeah. In Gladiator, that was his rallying cry, and he was all about honor, right? He wanted to do what was right.
No, apparently not. Apparently, he's a sleazeball and sleeps around with women that aren't his wife, apparently.
See, so that's the problem with Gladiator, too. They want us to root for a guy who doesn't have any honor.
Yeah.
And they show all of the main characters who we're supposed to root for doing dishonorable things. Mm. Like, the one that stood out to me was when the general Acacius has his first gladiator fight, and he's fighting against four soldiers. So the first thing he does is he bows to them, knowing that they're going to bow back in respect of his position.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes advantage of that to attack early.
Mm.
That's dishonorable.
Yeah. He was kind of a sleazeball, though.
They were all sleazeballs.
Well, that's true.
I didn't have anybody to root for.
I mean, Lucius, you kind of rooted for a little bit.
No.
No? Not even Lucius?
No, he was also dishonorable.
In what way?
I'm trying to remember.
They're all dishonorable.
Dishonor on you. Dishonor on your cow.
All right. Well, I think one of my favorite scenes in this, I'm not going to lie, is so they catch the guys, they throw them into like the not the Roman gladiator ring, but the one before that in the littler ring, and they have the these guys fight apes, and oh my gosh, like the CGI in this movie, I mean, it was bad CGI. It wasn't even great CGI, like the rhino, the sharks, the apes, like the monkey.
It was like sci-fi movie CGI.
Right. Yeah, it was pretty bad. But anyways, so this Lucius is fighting the apes, and he like kills one of the apes. And then Denzel Washington's character, he's looking at all these gladiators, and he picks out Lucius because he killed an ape that was really strong. And he's like, boy, if he can fight an ape, you can fight a man. And it's like, are you getting this from the dodgeball script? Like,
if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
it's like they got this script from Dodgeball, and
there was a lot of good quotes like that. So, so when he's looking over Hanno / Lucius, Denzel's saying, oh, you've got good muscles. You've got a strong jaw. He has a beard. Like, how can you see his jaw? And then he's telling him,
And he didn't really have that strong of a jaw. Like, he kind of had a double chin, to be honest. But anyways.
He was baby-faced. Like, yeah. I said, he was pulled right off of a tractor.
Right.
He was just a farmer boy come to do this movie. Here's one of my favorite quotes. When Denzel is saying, like, I'm so glad that you're full of rage. I'm going to use that and sell that. And he says, rage pours out of you like milk.
what does that mean? Why can't it be blood? You know, rage pours out of you like blood. Like, you know what I'm saying? Why milk? As far as I'm concerned, milk doesn't really come out of easy anything. Like, you have to, like, suck on the cud and, you know, like.
What?
You know, like, when you're milking a cow.
And you have to suck on the cud to get the milk going?
Well, you have to, like, well, baby cows do.
The teat.
Teeth.
Teat.
Teat.
Yeah. They suck on the teat.
Oh, okay.
They chew the cud, which means they eat the grass, and then they were kind of regurgitate it and chew it again.
Anyways.
Yeah.
It's just like, rage comes out of you like milk.
My rage is like milk. If you bottle it and add special enzymes, you can turn it into cheese. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. It's such a goofy thing to say.
I mean, we talked about last week how Russell Crowe thought the script for the first one was trash. Like, this was way more trash of a script. Like, that quote, the ape quote, if he can fight an ape, he can fight a man. Like, okay. Oh,
I remember one of the things Hanno did that was dishonorable.
Mm.
So, in one of his first big fights, he lost. He lost the fight, and the emperor said, grant him mercy. And Hanno was like, I don't accept mercy from Rome. And then he attacks the guy who was supposed to kill him, but wasn't supposed to kill him because he was granting him mercy, and then kills him.
Uh-huh.
Kills the guy who was giving him mercy.
Yeah.
I really did not like that.
Hmm.
And then the whole crowd is chanting his name like he just did something magnificent.
I mean, it was pretty cool that he cut that guy's head off. It was a pretty cool scene, I'm not going to lie.
He took two swords
and he's like, whatcha?
He didn't do anything to deserve
that. Well, you know, none of them are honorable. None. Like, Denzel Washington's character. Like, your quotes are stupid. It's not honorable.
There are none who have not sinned. Not one.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. The dialogue was all over the place. Like, do you remember when Hanno won the battle that was in front of the emperors? And they're trying to get him to talk. And Hanno doesn't say anything. He just starts quoting Virgil.
Who's Virgil?
An ancient philosopher, writer, person.
Oh, okay.
And Hanno just sounds crazy. I think he was supposed to sound really wise.
Well, I think the point of that scene was, you know, to get her, like, I don't know, like, the point for us is so that way the gal could connect that was her son, because he quoted it from his childhood or whatever.
Right, but he was kind of smiling when he did it and laughing and staring crazy. Like, he just sounded like a crazy person. Because they were like, hey, where are you from? What's your name? How you doing? And he's like, the way to hell is paved with good intentions. He didn't seem stable.
Oh, man. Yeah. You know, when we were watching the movie and they had the water go in the Colosseum, I was completely blown away when you told me that they actually did that in that Colosseum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously they didn't have the sharks. There's no way they could have the sharks.
Pretty sure they did not bring sharks into
the Colosseum. It's like, how do they get those whatever 15 sharks? Like, I mean, come on. Like, what do they go out on ships and then they fish for sharks and then somehow they put it in a tank while they went back? And, you know, like,
with modern technology,
you can't,
we can't keep sharks in captivity.
What do you mean we can't keep sharks? We don't have,
like a great white shark. You can't go to an aquarium and see a great white shark.
You can't?
No.
You can see a whale, though.
You could see a whale.
Why can't you see a shark?
Sharks are hard. Sharks are hard to keep alive in captivity. So, like, the reason why it's easy to keep a whale is they can breathe oxygen. I mean, they do breathe oxygen. Oh,
sharks can't.
No. And sharks have to keep moving in order to breathe correctly.
Right.
They're very sensitive.
Huh. Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So there's no way.
So there's no way that they could have sharks in there.
Absolutely not.
But apparently they did do that with the ships and the water.
Yeah.
Because they actually had pipelines. Like, see, we often think of these people from 2,000 years ago as like Neanderthals, but like they're really intelligent people. They just didn't, you know, have technology.
They were amazing, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, we're not impressed enough by what they could do.
Right. Like with the pyramids and all, like just all the things that they built. Like you look at that and like, how do they do that without like cranes and these big machines that, you know what I'm saying?
They had ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get creative. So here's a quote from Macronus, which I think is the name of Denzel Washington in the film.
Oh.
That rage is your gift. Never let it go.
Never.
It will carry you to greatness. I would ask you, who has had their rage carry them to greatness? Can you name someone?
Donald Trump. No.
No, I wouldn't say he's enraged.
No, that's true. What do you mean by rage? Like rage in the sense that you just...
You're mad and you do awful things because you're mad. Because I can think of people.
Like who?
Mike Tyson.
How?
Everybody knows.
Because he bit an ear when he was fighting?
Yep. Everybody knows that story. He's famous. I don't know if it makes him great.
No.
But you do know his name.
Yeah. And as we talked about on the Gladiator episodes, like, or was it the Gladiator episodes? Like where, you know, I think it was the Gladiator episode where it's like, yeah, what's the point? Because there was a part in this movie where he said, no one's going to remember your name anymore. I think they said that to Lucius.
Mm, yeah.
And it's like, well, you know what? I'd rather my name not be remembered. I actually did something good than having my name be remembered for eternity and have done horrible things.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Like, having your name remembered doesn't mean jack. Oh, it was Vertigo, not Gladiator. It was Vertigo where we talked about that. Yeah. Just remembered. So, closing it out here, because we're just going to keep these bonus episodes each month for like 30 minutes. What would you rate this movie? A water, soda, or a slushy? I know where you're going to go with this.
I'd actually rate it soda.
Mm.
Because it's just fine as an action flick.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good.
Mm. Yeah.
It actually does get a lot better probably halfway through the movie.
Yeah, I would agree.
Like everybody seems to start acting instead of just dressing up and being like, we're Romans, yay.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely not something you should go out of your way to see, and definitely don't pay to see it.
Yeah, don't pay to see it. If you have it on Paramount or Amazon or something, then watch it. But yeah, don't pay for it. I actually rate it the same. I rate it a soda. I think because I went into this knowing that it was going to be a crap movie. It actually was, it because my expectations were lowered, it actually bumped the movie up a little bit. Like, I was actually kind of surprised the plot wasn't all that bad. Like, sure, there were plot holes in it. But at the same time, I thought it had some fairly good action. I really enjoyed, I mean, the boat scene, I think the boat fighting scene was the biggest disappointment because they didn't really do a whole lot with that. But I really liked the battle that he had with cutting that one dude, the rhino guy's dude's head off. I really liked that battle. I thought that was a fun battle. And then I also liked the battle with him and Denzel Washington's character at the end.
Mm, yeah.
I thought that was a fairly well done fight.
Yeah.
But so I don't know. I liked it. As just a fun little flick. Will I watch it again? Probably not. But as something to watch, it's not bad.
There were some themes that they tried to bring out, but they never resolved.
Yeah.
So there are things that we could have talked about if this was a full episode. But honestly, we couldn't have resolved it for them because things like Hanno says to his doctor, "I dreamt I was crossing a river." And his doctor says, "Where I come from, that means forgiveness and salvation." But he never forgives.
Mm.
And he doesn't save anybody that he cares about.
Yeah. And one of the things that, you know, to end on this note is I think would have made the movie kind of funnier in a way is because when the first Russell Crowe's character dies in the end, he was like all fit, right? And he's in heaven with his wife and kid. And then the son's crying out to his dad and they show a hand at the end. And I'm like, oh, please bring fat Russell Crowe in this. I'm like, please. Nope. They didn't do it. It would have made it a slushy if they did that.
Just that.
Man, they got some good food.
That's what we want to see. That's right.
It's like, what, did Russell Crowe go to Costco and order some pizza? And
heaven is a Costco.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. So, anyways, yeah, that's what we got for you guys. No, big theological depths. We just hey, it's fun. We want to talk about a movie and just keep it entertaining. So, well, we don't even know. Oh, our next movie is by my good buddy from work, Jordan, and we're going to be talking about The Gray Man. And it's about a CIA agent, which, CIA agent. It's something that you'll probably like, I'm sure. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, I immediately thought you were talking about gray water.
No.
Which would have to do with disposal.
Mm.
And water reclamation, which I would totally watch a movie about that too.
Oh, okay. Well, do you have any quotes to end this on? Because you totally did not prepare for that. But I could just end it on my quote if you want.
Oh, hang on.
Oh, man. Yeah. Our next movie, we're going to be covering hopefully the next crappy movie that we're going to be covering next month, if it comes out on Disney Plus, because I totally want to just sit one night, watch the movie, and then record for 30 minutes after it and just trash it. And we're going to try to do Snow White live action.
That is going to be fun.
That is going to be a fun one. So anyways, what's the quote?
As my buddy John Mark Comer always says, you are not at the mercy of your beliefs. At some point, you must respond to the data.
North. And as my friend Blaine always says, after we get done with the movies, don't party too hard without me.
What?
Catch you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Whether it's at home or at the movie theater, Movie Night Apologetics exists
to show you the goodness of God in movies we watch.
I'm movie apologist Clark.
And I'm Bethany.
And this is Movie Night Apologetics.